VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the wake of recent shootings of El Paso, Dayton, more recently in Odessa and Midland, Texas, the calls for gun control are on the increase, with the media fanning the flames. Those vying for the presidency are speaking out. Beto O'Rourke announced if he's elected, he intends to confiscate semi-automatic firearms. Former Vice President Joe Biden told reporters Monday that he wants to ban magazines that hold multiple bullets, which, by the way, would mean all magazines. Cory Booker plans to require a federal gun license, which he says is absolutely constitutional. We saw the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. They passed a resolution unanimously on Tuesday declaring the National Rifle Association a domestic terrorist organization, urging other communities to do the same. And just yesterday, Walmart announced that after its current inventory is depleted, will stop selling handgun ammunition, and ammunition commonly used in other popular semi-automatic firearms. So what's the answer to all of this? Do we need to rewrite the Second Amendment, as some are suggesting? Joining us today, we welcome to Crosstalk Eric Pratt. Eric is Senior Vice President and Board Member of Gun Owners of America, a national grassroots organization dedicated to promoting the Second Amendment, a freedom to keep and bear arms. He's the author of Bearing Arms, Our Rights, Our Duties, and Our Freedom, and also author of a civil government textbook, The Constitutional Recipe for Freedom. Eric, thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Well, you're very welcome. It's great to be here with you, Jim. Thanks so much.
And we do have a lot to talk about, but the mantra we keep hearing over and over is that if we just have what is termed common sense gun control, these mass shootings would not happen. How do you respond to that, Eric?
Of course, you know, what is common sense is that criminals don't obey the law. You know, a lot has been made of the recent shooting over the weekend in Texas, where 7 people died. Of course, 8 people died over the Labor Day weekend in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So how's gun control working for them? You know, it's interesting. The media is ignoring those shootings, and we know why. It's because it doesn't serve the gun control's purpose, because Chicago has all the gun control that's being advocated. They have universal background checks. They have red flag laws. You know, they have just about every gun control that has been proposed or thought of by man, and it's just simply not working in that city. You know, criminals still keep getting guns. So, you know, the common sense is truly that actually we need good people, more good people being able to protect themselves. That's actually what's a deterrent to the bad guys.
What do we know about some of the gunmen, the shooters, the killers, like the most recent Texas gunman? Did he obtain his firearm legally?
He did not. He apparently bought it from through some type of private sale. And when you're a criminal and you engage in that type of activity, it is by definition an illegal sale. And of course, that's exactly what criminals do. They always engage in criminal activity, and we see them getting their hands on firearms, whether it's in Texas, whether it's Chicago, whether it's France, where they had some horrendous mass shootings just a couple years back. Bad guys get their hands on guns. And, you know, I mean, look again at Chicago. Again, 8 murders there, even more than what occurred in Odessa. And, you know, all this gun control that they have is just simply not working. The only way you could really get private sales to work is to live in a totalitarian regime. Sorry, where you have private background checks on private sales. The only way it could work is if, you know, you had the government videotaping and tracking everybody's movements. And, of course, who wants to live in a society like that? And even then, you wouldn't stop bad guys from doing things, because, of course, then they'll use trucks like that guy did in France, and he killed over 80 people. Or people will use fertilizer like Timothy McVeigh did to kill over 160 people. Or they will use, knives or, the handheld, sharp knives that the terrorists did on 9/11 and killed over 3,000 people. The point is that evil is in the heart. I mean, it's in the heart of man, and no law is going to be able to stop that evil heart from getting their hands on some type of object or instrument to create destruction.
Let's talk about our Second Amendment, Eric. What exactly does it say? Is it ambiguous? Does it need to somehow be rewritten so we all know what it says and what rights and freedoms one does have?
Well, we certainly don't want it rewritten, and it's very clear. Of all the Bill of Rights, it is extremely clear that there is no room for gun control. You know, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I mean, that completely invalidates every gun control proposal that we're hearing on the table, especially coming from the Democrats. And it's so funny to hear them say that these things that they're pushing are totally consistent with the Second Amendment. It makes me wonder if they've even read the Second Amendment. Because, you know, shall not be infringed is pretty clear. Let's be honest. Our founders did not write that language after coming home from a deer hunting trip or something like that. I mean, they fought against tyranny. They knew what tyranny looks like. And they also knew that the tyrants, the very first thing they want to do is they go after your guns. And that's why our founders were very clear, shall not be infringed, because it is a slippery slope. You know, once you start allowing some, then it just justifies even more and more. And now we're getting to the point where we've got presidential saying, you know what, if I'm president, I'm taking your guns. And, I'll pay you for it, but I'm taking your guns. I mean, that's what started the first battle of the revolution.
Well, and let's talk about some of those things we're hearing. Beto O'Rourke, he plans to confiscate this semi-automatic firearms, saying they will have to sell them to the government. I mean, would this, by putting this into action, would this take care of the mass shootings we've had across our land?
Oh, well, absolutely not, because as we were just discussing earlier, bad guys will get their hands on first of all, they'll still get their hands on the banned weapons. Let's be clear about that. The more you ban things, you know, how good did prohibition work? How well has the war on drugs worked? You know, if there's a heart that has the evil intent, it will get its hands on whatever is banned. So, you know, first let's be clear about that. But then there's, you know, all kinds of other objects that can be used, from airplanes to, trucks to fertilizer, even gasoline. Heck, on the first day of school in China this week, very sadly, in one school, somebody used a knife to stab and kill 8 children. The evil heart will use whatever. No, it's not going to stop mass killers. What it will do is make it harder for law-abiding people like me and you to protect ourselves, and especially in terms of the firearms they're talking about and limiting magazine capacity, et cetera. It'll especially affect us when we're facing multiple invaders in our home, as sometimes happens, or in situations like where you're defending yourself in a riot situation, like the Los Angeles riots, the Ferguson riots in Missouri a few years back. You know, AR-15 style firearm is exactly the type of weapon that you would want when you're in a situation like that. And we've seen countless examples. A guy in Houston earlier this year had 5 home invaders. He used an AK-47 to protect himself successfully. Last year, it was a Florida man using his AR-15. He had to fire over 30 rounds. Imagine if he was limited to 10 rounds or less, or to a revolver. He would have been out of luck. So the only people it's really going to hurt is the good people, because bad guys are still going to get the guns.
And that's what we hear from Joe Biden. I mean, he plans to ban magazines that hold, quote, multiple bullets.
Which is so funny, because, you know, a revolver holds multiple bullets. That's crazy old Joe going off again, and he says funny things. like telling women to use a shotgun. Most women, oh my goodness, most women would much prefer to use the AR-15, which has a much milder, a very mild kick, as compared to a shotgun, which is pretty rough kick for anybody, quite frankly. So, Joe just really doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, he should stay clear of gun-related Second Amendment issues, because he's really a laughing stock.
And by the way, folks, Eric Pratt with us today from Gun Owners of America. Not only was this on the magazine issue, but he was angry at the state of Texas for allowing people to carry firearms in places of worship.
Well, that's ironic you would say that, because a couple years ago, of course, there was a very tragic Sutherland Springs shooting, but it was a good guy with a gun that stopped the shooter. In fact, there's countless examples like this. There was a mass shooting that was attempted in Colorado Springs, Colorado, a few years back, and the guy had 1,000 rounds of ammunition strapped on him. He was going to commit the biggest mass shooting in American history, or he wanted to. Thankfully, it was a woman with a gun who got in his way. Gina Somm was a worshiper there, has a concealed carry permit, and she mortally wounded him when the guy entered the church. He was not able to kill one person inside the church. He ended up taking his own life after he was mortally wounded. What a difference. Imagine if she hadn't been there, there's many people in that church with firearms, good people, but imagine if they weren't there and they had to wait on the police. I mean, there would have been countless people that could have been killed. So, to say that people shouldn't have guns in places of worship is not going to stop the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not going to stop them. It's just going to mean that now we have to wait longer for the guns to show up, for the police to show up, and that's just unacceptable.
Also, there's other statements coming in, and let's look at Cory Booker saying, we should require a federal gun license, and he said it works. He said it's evidence-based. He said Connecticut has licensing, and shootings dropped, he said, 45%. Suicides dropped 15%. He said it's common sense. It's absolutely constitutional, he said. How do you respond to that? The federal license, is that something we should be looking at?
Well, Chicago has licensing, and how's it working there? All that means is that good people end up getting registered. Bad guys aren't going to go through the registration process. Right now, states that have concealed carry, criminals don't go through the permitting process to get a concealed carry permit, but they still carry guns. So, here again, that's just a kind of a backdoor term for gun owner registration, which is reprehensible. It's an affront to the Second Amendment and the protections we have to our God-given rights. And the biggest problem with registration is that it is frequently a first step to gun confiscation. And we've seen that in other countries. Heck, we have seen that here in this country in places like New York City and Connecticut, where guns were registered first, and then later they banned those firearms. And in New York City specifically, because they had the addresses where people were, they actually sent police to people's homes for compliance inspections to make sure they had gotten rid of the banned firearms. So registration is very, very dangerous, and again, it won't stop criminals from getting or committing crimes.
Eric Pratt with us today from Gun Owners of America. We're going to take a quick break. And afterwards, folks, we're going to get into the Walmart issue. What steps did Walmart take yesterday in their response to this issue? And also, we'll get into red flag laws as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris. Noah's Ark Explorer from the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where did Noah build the ark?
Chris, we simply don't know where Noah lived nor where he built his boat. This is because the flood of Noah's day totally restructured the surface of the earth. There are no geographical remnants of that pre-flood world. Everything about that world is totally gone. Now, it is true that two of the four rivers named before the flood are the same names as today's rivers. But I suspect that Noah named these rivers like he did because they reminded him of the previous rivers. They couldn't have been the same because beneath these rivers are tens of thousands of feet of flood-deposited strata. They simply didn't exist before the flood. At least that's how I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Gun violence, keeping the nation safe. What's the solution? Well, we're talking with Eric Pratt today from Gun Owners of America and discussing some of the recent shootings and what is our path forward. We're hearing some of the responses coming from different members of Congress or those running for the presidency and Eric responding to some of these issues. But Eric, before we continue, give us a word about Gun Owners of America.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're a grassroots organization representing over 2 million gun owners nationwide. Our members are very, very active. In fact, if people go to our website at gunowners.org, they can find out more about us. I'd encourage people to sign up for our free email alerts. Right now, we are in the political fight of our lives, putting pressure on Congress to stay true to their oath of office and not pass gun control, and urging the president to also veto any legislation that would come before him, any gun control legislation. So people can become active with us by signing up for our free email alerts, and so I encourage them to do that at gunowners.org.
Okay, let's get into Walmart. Yesterday announced this new sales and store policy regarding guns and ammunition. Outline for us, if you would, exactly what Walmart is saying, and what is your response to it?
Well, they've banned handgun ammunition. They've said people can't now open carry in their stores. A few other restrictions as well. Quite honestly, it was disappointing to see this. I mean, yeah, Walmart is obviously succumbing to the anti-gun hysteria that's going on right now, but it's nonsensical. You know, more people die in cars, so you wonder, is Walmart now going to stop selling auto parts, right? They're ignoring the fact that guns are used more often to save lives than to take lives. You know, good guys and gals with guns have stopped actually many armed shooters in Walmarts around the country, so Walmart unfortunately seems to be ignoring or forgetting that. For example, there was one in Washington State last year. A guy used his gun to shoot and kill an armed gunman who had injured a couple of people in the store, and there's actually been several examples like this over the years in Walmarts around the country. What is for certain, Walmart's decision to restrict gun and ammunition sales is going to have the opposite effect that they're intending. It's actually moving Walmart towards creating defensive free zones, and it's not going to make people safer.
I know, Eric, this is a very interesting phenomenon because, as you mentioned, this CEO from Walmart, there was not one mentioned of those armed heroes in their stores that stopped massacres from taking place. And I saw also a commentary that was on Western Journal just a couple days ago. Here was the headline, "Unruly Man with a Knife Stopped by Good Guy with a Gun at a McDonald's." And this is happening over and over again, whereas mass shootings get a lot of publicity. When someone uses a firearm to stop a mass shooting, nothing is said except maybe a brief mention in local media.
You are absolutely right. And this is one of our one of the things that we really have to deal with here. I mean, we have a whole self-defense page on our website at gunowners.org because we're really trying to get that word out, what examples that you were just giving. You know, last year, for example, there was a dad at an Alabama McDonald's that stopped the mass shooter. And then there was a guy who stopped the mass shooter at a Kroger's Kentucky, Kroger's in Kentucky. Yeah, this is something that the FBI has actually documented many cases of just average armed citizens using their guns in self-defense to stop mass shooters. There was a firefighter in South Carolina. There was an Uber driver on a Chicago street corner. There was a doctor in a Darby, Pennsylvania hospital. All these people using their firearms in a lawful way to stop mass shooters, and police saying that in each case that they saved countless lives. So So, you know, these are the things that FBI has documented. As you mentioned, people will often read about them in the local papers. Mm-hmm. Sadly, you know, the CNNs and the MSNBCs at the national level are only going to focus on the negative uses of firearms, and they completely ignore these examples.
There's been this growing chorus rise of having red flag laws. Would they be effective?
No. They would not. In fact, several states already have them. Look at California, Illinois, Florida have red flag laws, and within the past year, they've had mass shootings. So these red flags were ineffective at stopping them. Basically, what a red flag law does or allows for anybody, typically, they can differ from state to state, but typically any relative can, in a fit of anger, or launch an accusation against you and say, oh, you have a firearm, and then police will show up and take your firearm. And ironically, they leave the person in the home. So if they really are dangerous, then they're still there on the streets and can inflict harm. The problem with these laws is that they completely throw due process out the window. Your guns are taken. Your Second Amendment rights are shredded before you can even appear in court, before you can have your attorney present. There's no trial by jury, nothing like that. And, you know, quite honestly, wherever these laws have been tried, the definitive study on this was done by the Crime Research Prevention Center. And in studying states that have these laws, they found that these laws do not reduce mass shootings. I mean, look at California. They have the most mass shootings in the country, and yet they have a red flag law and many, many other gun restrictions. Anyway, they don't reduce mass shootings. They don't reduce murders. Interestingly, there is one area of crime that seems to be affected, and it's rape, and that tends to go up. And we think it's because there are situations where men will use these types of laws to disarm their female victims. So these laws don't keep people safer, but they do result in the confiscation of firearms of good people like Mr. Willis, Gary Willis of Maryland, a 60-year-old African-American man who, as I was mentioning earlier, after a family argument, a relative got back at him by leveling a false red flag accusation. The police showed up. He answered the door with a gun, and they shot him. And this is the travesty of these red flag laws.
Hmm. Eric Kratt with us, gunowners.org is a website. Eric, what is the path forward here? I think of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. She sent out a tweet Sunday saying that the Odessa shootings, that we've let mass murder become the new normal. She referred to the gun violence epidemic, weak gun laws, even white supremacy. And boy, there's a whole issue in itself. But have we let mass shootings just become the new normal? Is that what we are to expect? What do you see as being the path forward?
See, unfortunately, that's the big lie, and that's how they sell these things. It is not. In fact, worldwide, the United States is not even in the top 50 countries when it comes to mass shootings per capita. Now, you know, here's the thing. The United States is a big country, so we have more car accidents because we have more people. We have more car accidents. We have more knifings. We have more people killing each other with their fists. We have more pool drownings. You know, in every single category, we have more, just in terms of the raw numbers, because we're such a large nation. So when you look at per capita, in other words, mass shootings per 100,000, again, we're not even in the top 50. And the countries that are in the top 50 all have very strict gun control laws, much stricter than the United States, which, again, just reinforces the fact that gun control is not and never has made anybody safer, because bad guys will always get firearms. In fact, there's been murder even before there were firearms. You go all the way back to Cain, and the answer wasn't to institute rock control. No, it was to deal with the offender. And that's what we should be focusing on, rather than trying to ban instruments or tools that good people are using to protect themselves with.
So Any suggestions you have for our nation as we look forward? Do we need to lessen gun control laws that are already on the books? What do you see as being a solution to where we are today?
Yes, I think we need to have more constitutional carry laws. These are laws where good people are allowed to carry as a matter of constitutional right, carry a firearm for protection, and they don't even have to get permission from their government. I mean, look, why should law-abiding citizens ask for permission to exercise any of their rights? Why should they have to go to government? I mean, you know, I don't have to go ask for permission to have a child or to raise my child. You know, I mean, that would be absolute, and yet there are bad parents out there. But it's none of the government's business. If I'm a law-abiding person, I shouldn't have to be put into a situation where I'm seeking permission, not when we're dealing with a God-given right, which the right of self-defense is. And so these constitutional carry laws have actually been enacted in 17 states around the country, and they're some of the safest states in our nation. In fact, the top three safest states with the lowest murder rates are constitutional carry states. So you can't even use this argument that, oh, it'll be, you know, people shooting each other in the street. I mean, this is always the fear-mongering that the other side uses. Every time we try to repeal a gun control law, they use this, oh, there'll be bloodshed, people shooting each other, you know, fender bender arguments, things like that. And it just, it never happens. It never materializes. Actually, these states have gotten safer and safer. So I think constitutional carry is an important improvement that we need to push for. The other one is repealing gun-free zones. Over 90% of the public mass shootings that occur in this country occur in these defense-free areas. And when you look at some of the recent shootings like Gilroy, California, El Paso, Texas, Dayton, Ohio, the killers were either seeking out gun-free zones or places where they knew that their victims were going to be disarmed.
Congress reconvening, what do you anticipate?
Well, a lot of the things we're talking about, everything from these red flag gun confiscation orders to the universal registration checks to limitations on magazine bans and things like that. And quite frankly, it's probably going to be difficult to stop anything in the House of Representatives because it's Democrat-controlled, and almost to a person, they support more restrictions. There may be one or two, maybe three Democrats that might resist, but otherwise they'll just be able to, you know, shove this through. So I think what's really important strategy-wise is that people are contacting their representatives, especially the Republican representatives, and encouraging them to stand strong, to not compromise, to not go along with this. Because see, here's how this works. If, you know, irregardless of what happens, I mean, the House is going to send gun control over to the Senate, but if they send it over with a lot of Republicans in the House supporting it, then what's going to happen is senators will see that, and you'll have a lot of Republican senators that could, you know, will think, well, you know, the tide has shifted, and so, you know, they'll end up supporting it. So one of the best ways to kill it in the Senate is by making sure that House Republicans don't go along. And one of the best ways to keep them from doing that, again, you know, people go to our website at gunowners.org. We have several alerts at the top of the page where with just a couple clicks of your mouse, you can send off email messages to your representatives, to your senators, to the president. Already we've generated more than 3 million messages to the president and to the Senate and House. So they're feeling a lot of heat. In fact, we've had some of the highest ranking offices tell us the reason this isn't a done deal already is because of your loud members, because the media is loud, but you guys are really loud.
Well, Eric Brandt with us. By the way, we're opening our phone lines, taking your questions, the comments, 800-733-9829. Get on board, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just a minute. James 4:14 poses this thought: for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. Eric Pratt is our guest today from Gun Owners of America. He is the Senior Vice President and Board Member of Gun Owners of America, and taking your calls today. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but certainly you're open to call. 800-733-9829. Our lines are packed right now. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Here today, we're going to begin in Sarasota, Florida, and Bill is calling in. Bill, you're on the air with Eric Pratt.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Bill.
How are you doing, bud?
Bill, let's go right to your question or comment.
Okay. I am a member of the GOA. I am a member of the Second Amendment Foundation, and I'm a lifetime member of the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
When I put on classes and teach, is one thing that I get across to people right away. It is very little comfort to me to know that the police are minutes away when life and death could be seconds away.
Mm-hmm.
And the Second Amendment was the first homeland security.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bill.
And that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Bill. Eric, your response.
Great points, and Bill, thank you so much for supporting GOA.
And let's go to Ron in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Ron, you're on the air.
Well, first of all, Jim, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm a retired federal agent after 26 years on the street, and Eric Pratt speaks for me. I arrested about 100 guys in 26 years. That's only for a year. In Massachusetts, most were armed, none had permits, regardless of the Massachusetts strict permit requirements. And the point is, calling 911 is dial a prayer, and I agree with Eric Pratt. There are 14 states, I think, right now with constitutional carry, which is really the right way to go. Honest people should carry because all the bad guys I ever bumped into were armed.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate your call. Eric, I found it interesting. I believe it's a sheriff coming out of New Mexico. This is a Sheriff Cage, Eddy County there, posted just a few weeks ago on Facebook about certainly those who carry, telling citizens you need to be prepared at all times. And his posts go to both armed and unarmed citizens, but he said crucial to be ready for anything. And he said, my advice, be prepared at all times. Train and plan for bad things to happen. And then said, even if you don't care, always have a plan for escape and defense. But upholding certainly the Second Amendment there, saying, yes, be prepared.
Well, I always appreciate when a sheriff like that is very honest and humble about his position, because if they're honest, they will tell you they're not actually the first responders. The first responders are the potential victims. They're the first responders, and so that sheriff is encouraging the potential victims to be able to protect themselves, which, by the way, as we've already talked about in the first half hour, happens more often than people using guns in negative ways. But as we had discussed earlier, the media just typically right. doesn't talk about these cases. But according to the Center for Disease Control, guns are used to save life anywhere from 16 to 100 times more often than they're used to take
wow.
life. But obviously, that percentage is inverted when you look at the media
right.
and what stories they're covering.
Right, right. Wow. Dave in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
You know, I always hear this word gun violence, but if the gun's so violent, why doesn't it go to prison? I mean, it's the people that are violent. And I'll get off the phone here pretty quick. You know, they got full lines, but, you know, the Democrats, they're pushing this gun control and to grab our guns, and they want to ban them. But the one thing that takes the most life that Democrats won't ban is abortion.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting point. Talking about violence in the womb, that really is the real issue there, Eric.
Yeah, touche.
Yeah.
If if we were really in favor of protecting life, absolutely.
We've got Jeff calling in from Jefferson, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Mr. Pratt, I love your organization.
Thank you, sir.
Foremost gun rights advocacy group out there. Okay, here's the part that disturbs me. Okay, apparently our judiciary has morphed into our Constitution some reasonableness clause. It's reasonable to infringe upon your rights, but I don't read it in the Constitution anywhere. We used to be under the collective rights interpretation until Heller, which made it an individual right, which it always has been, a God-given right.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that have struck down all gun control laws? We shouldn't even be having this discussion.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's a God-given right.
Absolutely right. And unfortunately, as we all know, judges are just as political as legislators, and that's why we're even having this debate in the courts, because you're right, it should be a slam dunk when you read those words, shall not be infringed. By the way, really quickly, we're involved in a case before the U.S. Supreme Court right now, and we're very excited. It's a case out of New York City, and even though it's local to New York, we think it'll have huge ramifications across the country, and one of our chief arguments is this whole reasonableness idea that we argue that the Second Amendment sets the standard. The shall not be infringed sets the standard in looking at gun control, and so that, you know, we argue all these gun control restrictions are unconstitutional because of that. So anyway, this is a case that should be argued maybe as early as next month, so something to be looking forward to.
I thank you for bringing up the two-tiered reasonableness question. I read the brief. Thank you for fighting for our rights.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
We've got Mike calling in from Bayview. You're on the air, Mike.
Yeah, I too am a member of, and my wife of gun owners as well. But I just thought I'd give you a quick story here. My wife and I were doing some ministry work down at a Planned Parenthood, and some gentleman didn't appreciate us showing his wife the pictures, and he pulled out a knife after destroying the protection of my sign, and I'm a concealed carry holder. And had I not had a gun to protect my wife and I, we wouldn't be standing here talking this conversation today. But all it had to do was draw that weapon, and I didn't have to shoot the guy, and he dropped the knife and took off. So, it's a blessing to have it, and we shouldn't be playing around with that. And I'm sad to see that Walmart did that, because that's where I was getting my ammo. But, God bless you all, and thank you for this informative program, and I'll let somebody else get on the line.
Thank you, Mike. Eric, I'm sure this one didn't make the national news either.
Well, exactly. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. Mike's story, over 90% of those self-defense cases that, you know, I was talking about, which are referenced in the Center for Disease Control study, which they reference, over 90% of these cases are just like Mike's, where it's just simply either referring to a gun or brandishing your firearm is enough to stop the attack. It's actually a very small percentage of the time when the bad guy actually has to be shot. So most situations end up just as Mike described.
Our next caller is from Spring Valley, Minnesota. Kevin, you're on the air with Eric Pratt.
Thank you, Eric, for representing us. I got a twofold question. First of all is, where's the slippery slope stop with the lawmakers as far as Is anything other than an unloaded musket, which would still qualify as a Second Amendment freedom, is everything else a target in this? And my second question is, the Second Amendment wasn't designed to allow the freedom of hunters to take a firearm hunting. It was designed to protect us from a tyrannical government. And I was wondering if you could just give us a fresh reminder what that means, and how would that play out? In what situation would the Second Amendment come into play in our country in the way that the founders designed it?
Thank you, Kevin. Eric, we'll have you respond, dealing both with the unloaded musket issue there as well as the hunting issue and his later comments here as well.
Well, Kevin's right on point. The Second Amendment is not about hunting in any way. It is about defensive tyranny, and even the Heller decision, the Supreme Court decision, acknowledged that that's the primary purpose, is to resist tyranny. And certainly we have that in our history, where the very first battle at Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts, was all about drawing a line in the sand where they said, where the colonists said, you're not going to take away our firearms. And even though the British won the battle at Lexington, they were peppered by gunfire in their march all the way to Concord. And by the time they got there, most of the firearms and the gunpowder, et cetera, had been squirreled away, and they didn't get it. So in the end, it was a successful day, but you know, it was that, you know, the founders had dealt with a lot of tyranny, and you see this in their writings and their official appeals to the king, but the thing that finally forced them to pick up arms and defend themselves against the crown was when the crown started coming after their guns. So yeah, this is really in the fabric of our country. And you know, as we look around the world, I mean, look at places like Venezuela. I mean, it became extremely dangerous there after they confiscated firearms. And so not only are good people now subject to criminals with guns who still get weapons, but even worse, you've got situations where the government arms these goon squads and they go around shooting protesters. So you know, this idea that, you know, we're going to be safer by taking the guns away, and then real quickly on the point of the muskets, listening to the anti-gun liberals, you would think that's what they want to reduce us to, because they're always making the argument, oh, the founders could never have conceived of you know, a weapon such as an AR-15, which is not true, by the way, but they could never conceive of that. And usually they'll say that as they're using a microphone or something like that, which obviously the founders probably couldn't have conceived of that under the First Amendment either, or at least that technology. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the Second Amendment doesn't protect AR-15s, then the First Amendment doesn't protect TV and radio and modern-day printing presses. You can't have it both ways.
Maxine is calling from Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. Maxine, you're on the air with Eric Pratt.
Yes, thank you. I just want to say first, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And
that's right.
And I just recently joined the NRA. After all these years, I thought, I've got to do this. And I think concealed carry folks ought to stand up against Walmart and boycott them. Hmm. And then I also wish we could have more information on what to give the average citizen, like comparing the shooting in Texas to the shootings this weekend in Chicago. That's something that we can use to wake people up. So anything that we can use to help the average citizen see both sides of the story.
Thank you, Maxine. And Eric, you present things like this on your website.
Yes, we do. At gunowners.org, we have a lot of this type of analysis. We also have self-defense examples, and those are good things to give people as well, because you know, as we've been talking about, the national media simply ignores them. So I think it is important to get that word out. So, Maxine, thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you for the call here. We're just seconds from the break, so we're going to take the break and come back to additional callers here in West Virginia and Minnesota and New Mexico. Eric Pratt is with us today from Gun Owners of America. We're dealing with this issue of keeping our nation safe. What is the Second Amendment that is in our Constitution, and the attacks that are taking place against the Second Amendment, even as Congress reconvenes? By the way, the website again is gunowners.org, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Last week, my wife and I had the privilege of filming our TV show inside the home of Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's one of the homes in which she wrote four of the eight Little House on the Prairie books. We set up in the living room and filmed.
In fact, the home is so well preserved because, well, when she passed away in February of 57, it became a museum that May. It's original furniture and original content. It's highly professional, and their museum is only 4 years old. I highly recommend anyone take this tour in Mansfield, Missouri. The media last year jumped on the fact that a library association decided to take Laura's name off of an award. Why? Because apparently now she's a racist. Well, aren't we all, if you hold to traditional values, marriage, and a Christian worldview and free market principles? Don't let the media destroy the worldview image of someone like Laura Ingalls Wilder.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Eric Pratt is with us today from Gun Owners of America. And, Eric, you, through your website, and it's an article written by your father, Larry Pratt, who's been numerous times on this program in years past, has written a key article on what does the Bible say about gun control. Tell us about it.
Yeah, he actually wrote it when, you know, he's an elder in a Presbyterian church, and he was getting questions at the time, you know, how can a Christian be in favor of having guns? And so, he researched the Bible and wrote this piece. And it's interesting, it was in the news even, just recently, because Ted Cruz has been publicly debating a actress who, if anybody grew up watching Who's the Boss, she was the little girl. Well, she's all grown up now, she's very anti-gun. And so anyway, they've been having this debate, and Ted Cruz said, well, you know, our right to keep and bear arms is a God-given right. And she shot back on Twitter, oh, where in the Bible does it say God allows us to have guns or gives us guns? And anyway, the Washington Post, in discussing this, said, actually, Gun Owners of America has a paper that lays this out. And if people go to our site at gunowners.org, you can just do a search of Bible and gun control, and it'll bring up that paper that my father wrote. And, you know, it starts in Exodus, in Exodus 22, and goes all the way through into the New Testament with Jesus telling his disciples, if you don't have a sword, buy one, and many other examples in between, and even examples of arms control, like the Philistines oppressing Israel with weapons control. And so you see that as actually an act of tyranny, not a blessing, when arms control is imposed. So I think it's a very eye-opening piece.
So again, folks, gunowners.org, and you'll find the search box there. You put in the Bible, gun control, or what does the Bible say about gun control, and you'll find that article there by Larry Pratt. You can copy it, download it, share it with others as well. Let's go to Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, thank you for your patience. You're on the air with Eric Pratt.
Great, Brother Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Brother Eric, I wanted to thank you so much for what you're doing. You're speaking for us. I appreciate that. I've been a CWP holder for nearly 20 years, and I'm all great with the constitutional carry, but I do believe a little bit of classroom time would be important, not only with safety, but how to handle yourself in any situation. Of course, you know, they're all situations are different and everything like that, but the safety issue is my biggest thing. And whether a young man at or woman, whatever, 21 years of age, are mature enough to be able to carry. And also, another thing to my call real quick, assault weapons, they're not an assault weapon unless you assault somebody with them.
Okay. Thank you, Al.
Excellent point. And by the way, no dispute here on how important it is for people to get trained. Absolutely. Our only contention is that it shouldn't become a hurdle that you have to jump over before you exercise your God-given rights. Just like, you know, I'm also an elder in a church, and I encourage people to get marriage counseling before they get married. But, you know, I don't think the government should require it before people get married or require parental training before they have children, even though it could actually be helpful. That's just not the appropriate power of government, because then typically what it does is it becomes a sword to keep people from exercising their rights. And obviously that's what we've seen in many places, not only in this country, but around the world.
Thank you, Al. Let's go to Howard in Rochester, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hello. I
read an article recently about these red flag laws, and it went in quite depth about one of the senators, Democratic senators, Senator Richard Blumenthal, I think he's from Connecticut, some of the hidden agenda items in these red flag laws that he proposes. One of them is that if you would be a victim of a red flag law, your name automatically goes on the no-fly list at the transportation TSA. So you could not, for the rest of your natural life, you could not buy a commercial airline ticket in the United States. Mm. Your name is on the no-fly list. You would never be able to travel. The other thing is the possibility that your name could be put on a no-buy list from maybe a bank or a credit union, or maybe your employer would not direct deposit your check, things of that nature. You could be, maybe your even credit cards.
Tell you what, Howard, time is going quickly. I'm going to have Eric address that issue.
Well, these are horrific problems that Al is pointing out. And, what makes this especially troublesome is that we're not even talking about people who've been convicted of a crime. This is just like what we're talking about is what could be done to somebody like Gary Willis of Maryland, who after an argument, somebody just wants to get back at you, take revenge, and so they file a red flag complaint against you, and now your nightmare starts.
Yeah.
That's not due process in the United States of America.
We have Alex calling from Albuquerque. You're on the air, Alex.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call again. I tuned in kind of late. I just had a question I wanted to make sure. So Walmart put a ban on open carry. Is this nationwide? Because here in New Mexico, we're open carry. Second of all, will they not allow concealed carry now? And I would imagine, should I hear about this on the local news and such sort? And should Walmart obviously put up no gun signs to warn us?
Okay. Eric?
The ban is nationwide on open carry. They have not banned concealed carry. Granted, that would be hard to enforce anyway unless they're going to put metal detectors in all their stores, which would be very cost prohibitive. So, no, you can still conceal carry in a Walmart. So they're not yet completely gun-free zones.
Okay, thank you, Alex. And yeah, the news is pretty fresh, so even if you do a web search on Walmart and gun control, you'll find the articles. William in East Troy, we've got just a few seconds. Quick comments or question? Hello, William. Okay, William's gone. Eric, let me give you the final word here.
Well, I think it's really important that we stay active. People ask me, what can we do? It just seems like we're, a train is headed for us and it's just going to run us over and take away our rights. And that's because the media is loud. But we can be louder because we're the ones that hire and fire our elected representatives. And so that's why I keep, I direct people to our website at gunowners.org. It's really important to take action, and we make it very easy for people to do it. And then sign up for our free emails, because then we'll keep you engaged as well. And that's very important to maintaining our liberty.
Again, folks, the website is gunowners.org. Eric, I know you've been a busy man. Thanks for carving out the time for our listeners.
You're welcome, Jim. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.